DIAP, a complete deep dive. Where this protocol can go and how it changes everything. Let me walk you through DIAP from the ground up, what it is, where it's heading, and why I believe it has the potential to become the foundational consent layer for the entire AI identity economy. Part 1. The problem. No one has solved right now. There is no universal technical mechanism that prevents an AI system from using someone's face, voice, or motion data without their consent. Studios, AI platforms, and rendering pipelines each handle consent differently or don't handle it at all. The legal side is moving. The DGA's 2023 contract says studios must consult directors before using AI on creative elements. SAG-AFTRA fought for digital likeness protections. The WGA got provisions on AI-generated content. But all of that is contract language. It's words on paper. There is nothing in the actual technology stack that enforces any of it. A render pipeline can generate 3,000 frames of someone's face at 2 in the morning without checking if anyone authorized it. That's the gap. A contract says, get consent. But the technology doesn't care about contracts. That is the exact gap DIAP fills. Part 2. What DIAP actually is. DIAP is a consent protocol, not a marketplace, not a talent agency, not a platform where people buy and sell rights. It is the layer underneath all of those things. Think of it like HTTPS. You don't think about HTTPS when you browse the web, but every secure transaction on the internet runs through it. DIAP is designed to be that invisible enforcement layer for AI identity consent. It sits between talent and every studio, AI platform, and rendering pipeline in the world. And it enforces three things that currently rely entirely on trust. First, two-layer consent. Layer 1 controls whether a talent's identity is even visible inside an AI system. Can their face be searched? Can their voice be loaded? Can their motion data be referenced? If layer 1 is off, the talent is invisible to every AI system connected to the protocol. Layer 2 controls per project authorization, which specific project, which rights, which scope, for how long. Both layers are set by the talent or their authorized representative. Both are revocable at any time. Second, machine enforceable authorization. Every studio or AI pipeline that wants to use a talent's identity has to request a license token from DIAP. That token is scoped to a specific project, specific rights, a specific duration. It's cryptographically signed and time-limited. The studio's tools validate this token before processing anything. No valid token, no render. It's not a suggestion. It's a technical gate. Third, complete audit trail. Every interaction is logged, every visibility check, every license request, every rendering session, every output. When AI modifies something, say adjusting voice lines using synthesis after the original recording, the system flags it, logs which model was used, how much was modified, and links it back to the original authorization. The talent sees all of this in real time. Part 3, the platform, diap.my.id. The protocol is the enforcement engine. The platform is where people actually use it. Every talent who registers gets an identity vault. It contains their registered identity modules, face, voice, expression, motion, their consent settings, every active and historical authorization, and a complete audit log. Agents and managers get delegated access. They can review submissions, approve licenses, manage day-to-day operations, but certain controls can never be delegated. The kill switch, the ability to shut down all AI use of your identity across every platform in the world, stays with the talent, always. Studios register too. They get API credentials, submit identity captures for approval, request license tokens, and access compliance dashboards. The domain is intentional, diap.my.id, my identity. Part 4, where DIAP can go. Here's where it gets interesting. DIAP isn't just solving a problem for Hollywood. It's building infrastructure that could apply to every industry where AI touches human identity. Start with entertainment. That's the beachhead. films, television, advertising, games, VR. These industries already capture faces, voices, and motion data at scale. They already have guild structures and legal frameworks around consent. DApp plugs directly into that existing ecosystem and gives it technical teeth. But the application extends far beyond entertainment. Think about music. AI voice cloning is already generating songs in the style of specific artists without their consent. DApp's voice module and two-layer consent model could give musicians the same protections actors are fighting for. Think about sports. Athletes' likenesses are being used in AI-generated content, video games, and virtual experiences. DApp could give athletes control over how their physical identity is used in digital spaces. Think about social media influencers and content creators. Deepfakes are already a crisis. A creator's face and voice can be cloned from publicly available content and used to generate content they never consented to. DApp gives them a registry, a consent layer, and a kill switch. Think about education and corporate training. AI avatars based on real instructors and executives are being deployed without clear consent frameworks. DApp provides that framework. And think about the everyday person. As AI gets better at generating realistic representations from minimal data, the question of who controls your digital identity becomes universal. DApp is designed to scale from a Hollywood A-lister to any individual who wants control over how AI uses their likeness. Part 5. The Open Ecosystem. One of the most important design decisions in DApp is that it's open infrastructure. Anyone can build on it. Think of it like email. Gmail is Google's email app. But Outlook, Apple Mail, Thunderbird, they all use the same underlying protocols. DApp works the same way. Talent agencies could build branded apps where agents manage their entire roster's consent through their own interface, but the data lives in DApp's vault, and the consent logic follows DApp's rules. Unions and guilds, SAG-AFTRA, the DGA, the WGA, could build member portals where people manage DApp consent alongside their union contracts. The union app calls DApp's API. They don't have to rebuild the consent engine. Studios could integrate DApp checks directly into production software like ShotGrid or F-Track. When a VFX supervisor starts a shot using a talent's digital likeness, the system automatically verifies the license token through DApp. Independent developers could build mobile-first talent apps with better UX, social features, portfolio displays, all connected to DApp's vault through the API. And here's the key. No one in this ecosystem can bypass the consent model. All authorization flows go through DApp. Only DApp issues license tokens and render receipts. The kill switch always goes directly from talent to DApp, never through a third party. Part 6. The economics. The pricing model is deliberately designed to be neutral. DApp doesn't take a percentage of anyone's pay. That matters. If DApp took a cut of talent compensation, it would create misaligned incentives. The protocol would benefit from higher transaction volumes, which could conflict with its mission to protect consent. Instead, talent is always free. Registration, consent management, audit logs, the kill switch, all free. On every app, on every platform, non-negotiable. Studios pay annual platform access fees plus usage-based billing per API call, per render receipt, per certification. Small indie studios with low volume pay very little. Major studios with massive pipelines pay more. It scales with usage, not with the talent's value. Toolmakers, companies that build capture tools, rendering engines, or custom modules, pay certification fees to be listed in the trust registry. This creates a model where DApp's incentives align with expanding the ecosystem, not with extracting value from talent. Part 7, enforcement that actually works. Three mechanisms work together to make consent enforceable. Render receipts are mandatory. After every rendering session, the studio must submit a signed receipt documenting exactly what was produced, frame count, duration, model used, whether a watermark was embedded. DApp validates it against the license token and logs it to the talent's audit trail. Token Heartbeat provides real-time monitoring. License tokens are short-lived and must be periodically refreshed. During active rendering sessions, the studio's pipeline sends Heartbeat pings every 15 minutes. If Heartbeats stop but no receipt is submitted, the system raises a compliance flag. Watermark verification provides passive, ongoing enforcement. Every output rendered under a DIAP authorization includes an invisible cryptographic watermark. When that content appears anywhere, streaming platforms, social media, advertising, anyone can verify whether it was authorized, who the talent is, which studio produced it, and under what license. Together, these three mechanisms create overlapping enforcement. Receipts catch authorized use, Heartbeats catch active sessions, Watermarks catch distribution. Each one is independently valuable, and together they create a comprehensive enforcement layer. Part 8, the governance model. DIAP is designed to be governed by the people it protects, not by a single company, not by investors, by a multi-stakeholder governance board with representation from talent guilds, writers, directors, studios, and technologists. The roadmap has three phases. Phase one is the centralized pilot. That's where we are now. One issuer, controlled environment, proving the protocol works. Phase two is multi-issuer expansion, multiple authorized issuers, growing the ecosystem. Phase three is federation governance. The governance board becomes the decision-making body, and DIAP operates as truly decentralized infrastructure. The DGA, SAG-AFTRA, and the WGA all have a natural seat at the governance table. They've been leading on AI policy. Governance membership extends that leadership into the technical infrastructure that enforces those policies. Part 9, how this changes the industry. If DIAP succeeds, here's what changes. Consent becomes a technical requirement, not just a legal one. You can't render someone's face without a valid token. Period. Not because of a contract clause, but because the technology won't let you. Audit becomes automatic. Talent doesn't have to wonder if their likeness was used without permission. They can see every interaction in real time. Studios get a clear compliance path. Instead of navigating ambiguous contract language, they have a straightforward technical process. Request a token, render, submit a receipt. If you follow the protocol, you're compliant. Guilds get infrastructure to point to at the bargaining table. When the DGA negotiates with the AMPTP, they're not just arguing for policy language. They can point to working technology that makes consent enforceable. And the broader industry, music, sports, social media, corporate, gets a proven model they can adopt. DIAP starts in entertainment because that's where the problem is most acute and the structures already exist. But the protocol is industry agnostic by design. The end game is a world where your digital identity, your face, your voice, your motion, your creative work is truly yours. Not because someone promises to respect it, but because the infrastructure makes it impossible to ignore. That's DIAP. That's where it's heading. And the window to build this is right now.